This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of hour number two. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, celebrating 10 years on radio. We're part of Birchwood Infinity Nissan Winnipeg Jets game day. The Jets and the Ducks later on this evening. 6 p.m. puck drop, a game you can hear live on the station. Quick note from Jets game day skate. Jack Roslovic cramped up during the game day skate. He is now a game time decision for the Jets tonight. If he's not able to go, Nick Petan will enter the lineup in his stead, so we'll know more about that closer to 6 o'clock this evening. And of course, Connor Hellebuyck getting the start in net for the Jets. And an interesting note from the Anaheim Ducks perspective, Corey Perry set to make his season debut tonight for the Ducks.
Of course. Yes. I mean, that's the Jets' arch nemesis.
Whose arm is he going to slash? You know, tell Matty Perreault to make sure he's wearing solid padding.
It's a good thing, though, because he gets the crowd going.
He does usually get the crowd going, as he is public enemy number one, going back to the playoff series a number of years ago.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From Post Media, he is their national hockey writer. He's a good friend of this program. He is Michael Trakos. Michael, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Congratulations on the anniversary.
Thank you, Michael.
I was shocked to know that. When was the first time you said I'd been on, Mike?
Yeah, I was texting Mike earlier this week. Your first appearance was way back in 2011, the first year of the Jets coming back. So somehow we've managed to have you on for 8 years, and you'll still talk to us. So.
And none of us have aged a day whatsoever.
I was gonna say I still didn't have hair back then. So not much has changed.
Yeah, there's a lot more kids in our lives now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Michael obviously brought you on to talk. Look around the NHL. There's been a number of trades as the trade season is ramping up a little more than 3 weeks away from the deadline. Last night, Jake Muzzin made his debut for the Leafs. The Leafs lost in overtime to the Red Wings. So obviously that trade was a bust. But how did Muzzin look last night in his debut for the Maple Leafs?
You know what? I think he looked like the rest of the team, which was, I don't want to say hungover, but still trying to get like the sand out of the toes and get the Mai Tais out of the brain there. So I don't think he looked particularly good. I don't think any of the Leafs looked particularly good. And, you know, it's probably to be expected for the first game after an All-Star break and a bit of a bye week as well. It's going to take a while. Like, let's be honest here. Muzzin's been on one team his entire NHL career with the LA Kings. And Mike Babcock noted yesterday that this is a guy that never been traded in the NHL, but he's never been traded in junior as well. Like, he's always been with one team. So it's going to be an adjustment period when you go from playing with Drew Doughty for most of your career to now having to switch defense partners, and potentially he's going to be switching sides. Like, him and Morgan Rielly are both lefties. So one of them's going to be playing on their offside. And I think it was Rielly last night that drew the short straw, but there's going to be some experimental lines in the next little while. And I think that's the beauty of making these trades well ahead of the February 25th deadline, is that you allow teams and players to kind of figure out where they best fit. And that acclimation process can begin now rather than right before the playoffs.
You know, Mike, just sticking with Jake Muzzin and the defense there, you mentioned Muzzin, who's a left shot, was playing on the left side, and then Morgan Rielly, who's also a left shot, was playing on the right side. But when you look forward, you know, with the 3 weeks leading up to the trade deadline, do you think that there's a chance that we see Jake Muzzin possibly play on the right side? But that's more short-term. Long-term, you know, in the next month leading up to the trade deadline, do you see the Leafs adding another defenseman and then breaking Muzzin and then Rielly up so that Rielly can go back to his, you know, left side top pairing role?
Yeah, I don't think the Leafs are done there. And I think, you know, they've got the cap space this year where they still have about $4 million left to spend. And really, like this is their opportunity here. I know it's a young team, and you're saying, like, how is the window closing? But let's face it, Matthews and Marner are both on their entry-level deal, similar to Laine and, I guess, Kyle Connor. Where you have to take advantage of the fact that these guys are grossly underpaid this year. They're combined making less than $2 million. And that's without taking into account bonuses. So next year, things are going to change. Like, you're going to have to get rid of defensemen, depth forwards. You're not going to be able to afford the same sort of lineup that you can't afford this year. So this might be the best Leafs team on paper that we see in a little while. If that's the case, you know what? Don't be surprised if Kyle Dubas swings for the fences there and goes and grabs another defenseman, particularly a right-handed shot defenseman. I've heard Dougie Hamilton's name. I've heard Brett Pesce's name, both out of Carolina. Some people are talking about Alex Pietrangelo. I think the asking price is going to be way too much to get a guy like him, but there's going to be someone else coming here. And if it's not a defenseman, then they're probably going to look for some size and some grit up front. Maybe a guy like Michael Ferland fits that bill, or even a Wayne Simmons. So they've already used their first-round pick in the Muzzin trade, but this is a team that is just overflowing with prospects, and particularly smaller skilled prospects like a Jeremy Bracco in the minors, who I think is leading the Marlies in points right now. He's a guy that I don't think he's ever going to get a shot in Toronto just because of this is a team that's just kind of small skills forwards are kind of what they have, and it's all they have. So don't be surprised if Toronto is one of the busier teams when it comes to the trade deadline.
So, Michael, how much vodka do they need in Columbus to keep Artemi Panarin a part of that squad? And do you see him after this trade deadline still wearing a Blue Jackets uniform, or do you think that they'll be parting ways with him?
Not all. All the vodka in the world cannot keep this guy from staying. He's getting traded. I believe it's going to happen before February 25th. You know, like, here's the risk. If you don't trade him, there's a chance that you miss the playoffs and then you lose him and Bob in that for nothing in the summer. And while cap space is king in today's market, you know what else is king? Getting value back for guys that are leaving your team. So, you know, I think it's an unfortunate situation that the Blue Jackets are in. At the same time, you know, Florida didn't clear all this cap space for nothing. I think the Panthers are going to be real busy trying to get a guy like Artemi into their lineup. If not Florida, the one team I'm kind of curious about are the Islanders. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to go to New York. Word is that his wife is really dead set on wanting to be living in either Manhattan or at least the surrounding area. So, you know, the Islanders could give up a player, a roster player like an Anthony Beauvillier, and Columbus could still possibly make the playoffs and still be in a good shot. Like, obviously, Beauvillier is not going to do the deal on his own, but if you get Beauvillier, you get a first-round pick, you get one of their prospects, obviously that trade looks a lot better from both sides. So I think he gets moved. I think there's just too much downside in keeping him and then, you know, watching him walk out the door and the team either making the playoffs and going out in the first round or potentially missing altogether.
Michael Trakos is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Michael covers the NHL as the national hockey writer for Post Media. He joins us as part of Birchwood Infinity Nissan Winnipeg Jets game day here on TSN Radio 1290. Michael, what do you think of the trade yesterday between the Penguins and the Panthers? Brassard and Shahan going to Florida along with some draft picks, and of course Bjugstad and McCann go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I like the deal from Pittsburgh side. Obviously, I think everyone could tell that Brassard just wasn't a fit in Pittsburgh for whatever reason. They thought they were getting a solid number three center, and I think Brassard fits better when he's a number one or number two center, and when he was kind of lost in the shuffle there, it just never really worked out for him. So we'll see if Bjugstad can be kind of an upgrade over that. Obviously, he's got some size. Shahan, again, is another guy that just kind of adds a little bit more depth for them. But I'm really curious to see if this is like the first of, like, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, especially with Florida. Like, they cleared some significant cap space for the summer with this deal, and Dale Talon's already gone on record saying that they plan to be real busy. And, you know, when you look at the Panthers, that's a team that I thought would be at least a wild card team this year, if not better. And obviously goaltending's kind of let them down, and some injuries obviously have hurt them as well, but definitely underperformed this year. And, you know, when you've got Barkov, you've got Trocheck, you've got Aaron Ekblad, you've got Huberto. There's all the pieces there to succeed. And, you know, whether it's a goalie that they go after this summer, whether it's Bobrovsky, or if they go for Bobrovsky and Panarin, and that's a team to really watch for in the coming weeks as well as the coming months. So I like the trade for both teams. Like, Pittsburgh short-term needs get fulfilled, and the Panthers, you know what? They're actually sending a message to the market that, you know what, they're not happy with how things have gone and they plan to change it.
Mike, I mentioned this to Dave off air earlier, but Are you surprised that more people aren't talking about Patrick Kane? He had a crazy night last night, 4 points against the Buffalo Sabres. He's got 15 points in his last five games, which is just ludicrous. And he's actually now second in the NHL with 75 points in 51 games, including 31 goals. I mean, this guy, as far as I'm concerned, should be in the Hart Trophy conversation.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of another guy who puts up a lot of points and is on a non-playoff team as well. Yeah. I can't remember what his name is.
Connor something.
Yeah. Monarch
David.
No one David.
In the NFL seems to know who he is, right? But, yeah, it is unfortunate for Patrick Kane. Like, it's amazing. Someone, I retweeted the stat yesterday. I think Sammy Hoffman, my buddy from Finland, who's based in Toronto now covering the NHL, he tweeted that out, and it's something like 47% of the goals, or at least the point production, has come from Kane's stick this year, which is just remarkable. And, you know, we do wax poetic about how Connor McDavid is in this unfortunate position and how his prime years are being wasted. And it's hard to make that same argument, obviously, with Patrick Kane, because he's got 3 Stanley Cups and a Conn Smythe trophy, and he's already won a Hart, I believe, and an Art Ross, but what he's doing this year is totally gone unnoticed. Like, he wasn't even getting a sniff at the midseason awards when the Professional Writers Association came out with those awards. And, you know, you're right. Like, this guy could win the Art Ross, and McDavid could finish second, and quite possibly, like, a Landis Kagaranta could finish third. And the top 3 scorers could all 3 of them could be out of the playoffs. It's such a wacky year, and it's not just them. It's, like, John Gibson and Anaheim, like, he could end up winning the Vezina and not be on a playoff team as well. So it is a funny year this year where, you know, you think if you have a guy that's leading the league in scoring, or at least a top 3 guy, that should be enough to carry you into the playoffs. And it's just not the case anymore. Now we're seeing, like, teams like the Islanders and the Vegas Golden Knights where they don't have a top 20 scorer, and yet they're at the top of the class when you're talking about team effort. And maybe Lou Lemieux is right. Maybe we're all wrong. And it is about the front of the jersey versus the name on the back, because you do need more than one player in hockey.
And Michael, casting our eyes back last weekend, I can't believe I'm talking about the All-Star game, but one significant thing was that we saw women participating in the weekend. And they didn't obviously play in the game, but you wrote a column about that idea. Do you actually think that we'll see women at one point playing in the All-Star game?
I think so. Like, it's a fun weekend, right? Like, people are treating it like, well, women aren't in the NHL, so, well, this is a competitive event. I'm like, it's not competitive. Guys are having fun. And you know what? And if anything, if we learned anything about this All-Star weekend, it's that the gap between women and men in terms of overall skill, and I'm not factoring every single facet of the game, but I'm just talking about overall skill, whether it's skating, passing, or accuracy shooting, that there is not a gap. Like, Kendall Coyne Schofield, she beat Clayton Keller in the fastest skater. And Brianna Decker had one of the fastest times and best times in accuracy passing. So, you know, how cool would it be if one of those girls or women were on the ice feeding passes to Connor McDavid, or you see a 2-on-1 and obviously and it's Decker going to Austin Matthews and back and forth. I think that would do great just for growing the game. And you know, I've got a daughter, and I think she'd find it really cool to see that the men and women can play together. It's not anything different than mixed doubles in tennis. Like, there's no reason why they can't be on the same court or the same ice together. I think that'd be a great idea, especially for an event that is lacking juice and is lacking kind of popularity as we go through the years.
You know, Mike, we have, Drew and I have daughters too, so let's get this thing going.
No, I think it's, you know, the All-Star game might not even be around in a couple of years, because we might hit some sort of reiteration of the World Cup, and the year after that we might get Beijing Olympics. So for next year's All-Star game, I think people are already probably criticizing the fact that it's going to be a dud, and let's get this international calendar going. So yeah, it makes sense to add some sort of appeal. And this one seems like it's more than just a gimmick. What I saw at the All-Star game opened my eyes. I thought when I heard Kendall Coyne Schofield was going up, I'll be honest, I was like less than enthused. I thought, okay, this is totally going to be maybe negative in the sense that I didn't think she was going to be flying around the ice so fast. So, you know, my eyes were open. And you know what? If we can cause more eyes to open just by seeing the skills on display, because let's face it, a lot of people don't watch the women's game. They maybe watch it for a 2-week tournament at the Olympics, and even then, they might just watch the gold medal game. So this causes more people to kind of appreciate just the skill that's on display, not just on the men's side, but the women's side. I think we're all better for it.
Yeah, especially Pierre Maguire.
Oh, yeah. I feel bad for Pierre. Like, the guys, I really like Pierre, but, you know, I think that's just awkward Pierre. Men or women who was next to him. Like, you saw the interview with Phil Kessel where he's asking him about his breath, and yeah. It just seems like whatever Pierre says just comes out just sounding really weird and awkward. So
yeah,
I have to believe that he wasn't, like, degrading or intentionally degrading or even unintentionally degrading. I think that was just Pierre being Pierre, and a lot of times it just comes off as weird and awkward.
Yeah, more awkward than malicious, and let's hope for that tonight.
At the end of the day, people were paying money to watch Kendall Coyne, and people are not watching money to see Pierre, so...
I know. I like Pierre, like I said.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
We'll leave it at that. Michael, we appreciate it. Michael Trakos is the national hockey writer for Post Media. He's been one of our longtime favorites on this program, and that continues unabated. Michael, appreciate it. We'll do it again real soon, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys. And hopefully another 10 years, right?
Yeah. Cheers to that, Michael.
But in all honesty, though, Mike, you know, thanks for coming on the show so many times, because you're one of our monthly guests, and, you know, you've come on the show now for 8 years, so we love that you're still part of the show, and obviously, you know, you're an excellent journalist, so, you know, cheers, man.
Well, thanks, and you guys pay me so well. So.
Yeah.
Wait, Michael who?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Mike.
Take care, gentlemen.
When we come back, more about tonight's Jets-Ducks game. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Quack, quack.
We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Drops it back for Ricard Raquel. That shot blocked by Truba. 15 seconds, Little and Truba. Fowler on his way back in a hurry. In for Little. Save me. Rebound. And bang. Score!
I'm sure it's just me, but it seems like the Ducks and the Jets have played like 6 times this season. I know they haven't. But
well, it's because they just played recently.
Yeah, it was just about just under a month ago was the last time these two teams played, where Brian Little, as you just heard in that clip, scored for the Jets in overtime. The Ducks were in the midst of that horrendous losing streak, and they finally, of course, ended that losing streak, but they've started a new one since then, so kudos to them. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290 as part of Birchwood Infinity Nissan Winnipeg Jets game day. The Jets and the Ducks tonight, 6 p.m. puck drop. You can hear the game live on this fine station. This segment of the show is brought to you by our good friends, longtime supporters at Keener Jerseys, located at 982 Portage Avenue. That's the corner of Portage and Sherbourne. At Keener Jerseys, making a better jersey is what they do. To have your jersey customized or to order a new jersey for your rec team, go to KeenerJerseys.com. Keener Jerseys, they are on your team.
Yeah, I was thinking of Keener because they came out yesterday, guys, with the Stadium Series jerseys for Pittsburgh and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And kudos, because those jerseys are sharp. Those look great.
I like the Pittsburgh one better than the Philly one, but
I thought the Philly one was actually better.
You know, two people can have differing opinions. It's, you know, it's
but
what
the
happens.
Pittsburgh one was, don't get me wrong,
of course,
I love
if we were
the,
on Twitter right yeah. now, you would, you know, threaten my family for having a differing opinion than me, but, you know, we all know what Twitter's good for.
Speaking of your family, we played the clip of your dad, Sheldon, earlier from back in 2011 when the Jets announcement was made back at when we were down at the tavern. And
yes.
You know, we just tried some of Laura's cake, and it's funfetti, you said?
It is
the type of cake?
It's the cake itself is funfetti.
Wow, so good.
Yeah.
Laura, I love you already, but thank you so much.
Awkward.
Because that was one of the best pieces of cake I've ever had.
I got to tell you, you ate it pretty quickly.
Well, it was a little piece, a sliver.
I mean, you cut it pretty close to coming back from... Did you just, like, swallow it whole like a duck?
I'm going to have another piece.
I know you are.
And I also brought Jeannie's cake.
Yes, I know that, too.
Dave Manuk being from the North End, James DeRoschuk, our producer, being from the North End, you got to bring in a North End institution.
I don't totally understand the logic as to why, you know, two cakes...
You're a South Ender. You wouldn't understand.
Can we talk about the Jets?
After 5 years, we had one cake. But when it's 10 years, Drew, come on. One cake is not going to be enough.
Well, as he
we have people to feed. Lorden was in the studio earlier. There's other people here at the station, Virgin 103. We got to feed them.
I'm pretty sure for our 8th year anniversary, as you brought in a cake that fed 70 people.
Yeah.
So,
you randomly brought in a cake for just some random anniversary.
Well, I went to Safeway and asked for the biggest cake that they had.
Yeah, that
and
might
the
have
woman
been
looked
first
at
problem.
Me like, are you going to go home and eat that entire cake yourself?
Well, and the
it's because the previous,
I ate half of it.
Because the previous week you just did that. They're like, what are you celebrating, sir? Oh, that's nothing.
Right. Nothing. I'm just ordering a massive cake for
it's
myself.
It's a little me time.
Yeah. And I ate it with a snow shovel.
The Jets and the Ducks tonight. The Ducks, of course, as I mentioned, are going to get Corey Perry back, making his season debut for the Ducks. But again, the season for the Ducks has just been a disaster.
Yeah, yet they're only 1 point out of the playoffs.
I mean, that just speaks more to the Western Conference than anything else. They lose Andre Kasha for the remainder of the year. He tore his labrum. So he's out of the
That's
Ducks
not
lineup.
Pleasant.
That's not pleasant. It sounds painful.
He was having a good year.
Yeah, the Ducks, we know they went on that franchise record losing streak, which they finally ended by beating the Minnesota Wild.
Yep.
Then they won a couple games in a row, and then they've lost a couple games in a row. They actually haven't played since January 23rd. Yeah, so they were on the All-Star break and then their bye week. So this is the Ducks' first game back from their bye week. So it'll be interesting to see what Anaheim Ducks team shows up. Are they sort of like the Jets were in Philadelphia, where they're a little lackadaisical, they're a little slow, or are they going to be like we saw from the Boston Bruins, where they sort of jumped out as a house on fire against the Jets tonight?
I think it's going to be the former. I think this game is setting up for a Jets blowout. And, you know, you mentioned Corey Perry's coming back to the lineup, and, you know, that's all good and fun. And, you know, Perry is a guy that's had an excellent NHL career. And, you know, you look at this Ducks team, and even though they're 1 point out of the playoffs, guys, you wonder, what's the best case scenario for the Ducks, right? You get into the playoffs, and you end up playing probably the San Jose Sharks or the Calgary Flames or the Vegas Golden Knights.
No, they can. It could be, if they're the bottom team in the Western Conference, it could also be the Jets or the Predators.
Well, and that's even further is my point. I mean, what's your best case scenario?
You're losing five games.
You're going to get killed by one of those teams. Yeah. Whether it's the Central Jets, Preds, or whether it's Pacific Flames, Sharks, or Golden Knights. I mean, you look at this team, and what if we said about so many teams this year that has one great top line, like Colorado, but doesn't really have anybody else? And I mean, it's very similar to the Ducks. Ryan Getzlaf is actually having a nice season. I mean, Ryan Getzlaf is not a 90-point player anymore.
No.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer as far as I'm concerned, still a top 10 center in the game, but Getzlaf just can't do it all. And when you talk about a guy like Rickard Rakell, I mean, he just hasn't had a very good season. He's stuck on 8 goals right now. And, you know, they have players that I think are possible trade targets right now. A guy like Jacob Silverberg, who's actually not having a good year either. He's got 12 goals, but he's been
leads the team in goals with 12.
But that's not good for him.
It's not good for anybody to lead your team in goals with 12 goals.
12 goals in 42 games is not spectacular. What would he be, like 8th or 9th on the Jets in goals? So when you're talking about this team, I mean, Daniel Sprong was a nice acquisition, and they've made some other trades here throughout the season, bringing in a guy like, you know, Devin Shore, and they brought in Michael Delzato. The best part of their season so far has probably been the goaltending of John Gibson.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it many times before, and Michael Tracos just mentioned it. You know, John Gibson, I think, is the reason why they're close.
I think without
Gibson, Dave, they're probably, you know, 8 or 9 points out of it. But he has provided superb, excellent goaltending. And
they have the
second worst goal
differential in the Western Conference.
Right. And, you know, they can't score.
Yeah.
They can defend. I mean, they still got a good group of defensemen. Josh Manson, I'll always bring him up, of course, son of Dave Manson, great defenseman. I've always liked Cam Fowler's game, but this just isn't a very good team. So they have to be sellers at the deadline, Drew. I don't think they're going to be big-time sellers. Also, Ryan Kesler has to be mentioned. Kesler, he might be done for the season.
Well, Ryan Kesler is an albatross on their salary cap until the day he retires.
Wear and tear has it's caught up to him.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're the Ducks, you have, you know, your pending unrestricted free agents that are interesting at the deadline are Silverberg. I think you have to trade him if you're not re-signing him because, you know, just so you can hold on to him to maybe squeak into the final playoff spot. I mean, what's the point of that?
Well, I wouldn't dismiss it, Drew. There's a lot of money tied up. I mean, from an owner's perspective,
how does that help your team long term?
Well, I mean, from a dollars and cents perspective, there's a lot of gravy to be had in the playoffs. So, I mean, if you have a goalie who could steal you around, I'm not saying that John Gibson would do that against the Jets team or anything like that, but I'm simply saying that from an ownership perspective, being in the playoffs isn't something I would just casually dismiss.
Right, and, you know, we talked about Kessler's not going to be in the lineup tonight against the Jets. Mm-hmm. Andre Kasha's done for the season. Kessler mentioned, I think that was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, that he's not going to waive his no-move clause. So, as you mentioned...
Well, nobody's taking that contract.
Well, and he might not play for the rest of the year. He's had all types of injuries here. But when you're talking about the Ducks, I mean, I think it's time for guys like Troy Terry, guys like Max Jones, Max Comtois. They have some really high-end prospects in their system. So I think it's time to get those guys into the lineup towards the end of the year. But you're right. I mean, I think this team is going to rebuild. And, you know, the future of Randy Carlyle there remains uncertain. You've heard, you know, Dallas Aikens might be a guy that they're going to bring in next year to be their coach. He's in the American Hockey League
Randy Carlyle is not your head coach for a young team.
Right.
He's a head coach for a veteran team. He's not the kind of guy who's going to mesh well with younger players, which is why Aikens, who's done a good job in San Diego
With
the
goals,
AHL, it makes way more sense. I mean, this Ducks team, like you said, and you're right, Dave, you know, for a team like Anaheim, maybe they need those, you know, two playoff dates, and because it helps the bottom line. But I mean, to this team isn't good enough right now to do anything.
It's shocking to me. Like, when you look at the advanced stats, it's unbelievable that this team is in the playoff discussion.
Well,
and I like some of the players. Like, I like a guy like, and I know, I realize Kosh is injured, but, you know, you talk about players like Adam Henrique and Rickard Rakell. We talked about, you know, Getzlaff, but I mean, they're just isn't enough talent on this team right now, and they just haven't been performing. There have been so many players on this team that have disappointed.
Yeah, and I mean, the only thing I think Jets fans should know for tonight is that obviously Zdeněk Rozovic was cramping up, right?
Yeah.
So there's a possibility that he may not play, and Nick Petan, who we spent quite a bit of time talking about, could be a possible...
Might get a showcase performance for Nick Petan.
And you know what he talked about? It's Scott Billick, who's a reporter for the Free Press, also writes for NBC. Winnipeg Sun. He said that he had you could see from the conversation he had that it's weighing on Nick Petan quite a bit still, but he's obviously looking forward to an opportunity if he can into getting into the lineup.
The Jets and the Ducks, 6 o'clock tonight, a game you can hear live on TSN Radio 1290. When we come back, Seth Rorabaugh of TheAthletic.com joins us to talk about the Penguins' acquisitions from earlier this week. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, celebrating 10 years on air as part of Birchwood Infinity Nissan Winnipeg Jets game day on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN Radio 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio, celebrating 10 years on air. We're part of Birchwood Infinity Nissan, Winnipeg Jets game day. The Jets and the Ducks later on tonight, a 6 p.m. puck drop. You can hear the game on TSN Radio 1290. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio is illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
From TheAthletic.com in Pittsburgh, he covers the Penguins. We're pleased to be joined on the program by Seth Rorabaugh. Seth, good morning, and thanks very much for joining us.
No problem. And by the way, congratulations on 10 years. I've been following your guys' website and on Twitter for, probably longer than that. And I can just say from experience, being in this industry or online or anything like that for more than 10 years is it's a remarkable accomplishment. So congratulations.
Yeah, right, Seth, because when we started illegalcurve.com, which was actually 12 years ago, that's when kind of right around you had the Empty Netters website.
Yeah. So like I said, having that ability to stick around and stay relevant and be very successful, it's something to marvel. So congratulations once again.
Appreciate that, Seth. Very kind of you to say. Obviously, we brought you on to talk about the Penguins. They dipped into the trade market yesterday with their deal sending Derek Brassard and Riley Sheahan to the Florida Panthers along with some draft picks in exchange for Nick Bjugstad and Jared McCann. I've heard a lot of talk that the key to the deal from the Penguins' perspective is actually Jared McCann, and he was the guy that Jim Rutherford really kept a close eye on and really wanted to get badly. Why was McCann so appealing to Jim Rutherford?
I just think he likes the style of play he offers as, like, say, a third liner. Jim, I even mentioned that that was a guy that he had his eye on going back to the draft back in 2004 when Vancouver drafted him. And that was Jim Rutherford's first year as the Penguin GM. So this is a player that, for a variety of reasons, I guess, Jim Rutherford just really liked and appreciated and wanted to add to his team and, improve his depth in the bottom six. And, we saw last night, granted, with Evgeny Malkin out of the lineup, Jared McCann kind of slotted in as the number three center. didn't light it up or anything like that, but, you know, certainly seemed like a viable fit for how the Penguins want to play. He has some speed, offers a little bit of an offensive game, throw the body around. And Jim Rutherford really, really touted his defensive abilities, kind of referred to him as a shutdown type of player. So, Jim Rutherford, for a variety of reasons and for, going on 5 years now, has really liked this type of player.
Seth, is that the key to this deal? Is that the main reason why Jim Rutherford gave up the draft picks along with Brassard and Riley Sheahan to get that flexibility? Because, as you mentioned, Jared McCann can be that third-line center. You can have Nick Bjugstad on the wing, or if you need Nick Bjugstad to play center on the third line or the fourth line, I don't think Bjugstad would be a fourth-line guy, but is that really what it comes down to, the flexibility on that third line with McCann and Bjugstad?
Yeah, I really think just having some options. I think that's kind of been the buzzword here the last day or two here with after this trade, having some options. Guys can play multiple positions, multiple roles. That really appeals to Jim Rutherford. Yeah, that goes back, even to his days in Carolina. He really seen the value guys, forwards especially, who can play multiple positions. And that fits the bill with these two types of players. And Bjugstad's a guy who, he played wing really a lot this year in Florida on the first line with, Alexander Barkov and Evgeny Dadonov. And on the second line, last few games, he had been playing with Jonathan Huberdeau and Vince Trocheck. So, he played second line center last night with Phil Kessel and Brian Rust. And, you have to wonder, too. I mean, this is a team that, when they had the two Stanley Cup runs here, they had kind of like the three lines going. And that famous HBK line with Nick Bonino centering Phil Kessel. Last night, Bjugstad, granted due to injury as Evgeny Malkin, Bjugstad ended up centering Phil Kessel last night. So, you have to wonder if that's something that Jim Rutherford and staff and Michael Sullivan and staff kind of had in mind when they wanted to make the deal. But I think above all else, they just enjoy having the options with these two players that frankly, they just didn't have with Derek Brassard and Riley Sheahan.
Seth, sticking with trades earlier this week, Jamie Oleksiak was traded back to the Dallas Stars, the team, of course, that he was drafted by for a fourth-round pick. Were you surprised that the Penguins traded Oleksiak? Because I actually thought he was starting to play better as the season progressed. And do you think that the Penguins might still be in the market for a defenseman, or do you think that they're just waiting for Justin Schultz to come back?
I'm not so much surprised that they traded Jamie Oleksiak. I'm a little surprised they traded him back to Dallas for that same draft pick, which... ultimately, that draft pick ended up getting traded to Florida yesterday. And it's funny, if you look at the trade history of that draft pick, that thing's been traded five times already. that goes back to when Minnesota traded for Matt Barzal from Arizona, and then Arizona traded to Pittsburgh for Josh Archibald, then it got switched back and forth in the Oleksiak deal, then yesterday. So it'll be interesting to see what type of player gets drafted with that pick. But as far as Jamie Oleksiak goes, he kind of was just the odd man out here. And that's with Justin Schultz having been injured here for several months. And, Schultz is, maybe a week or two from coming back to the lineup. The Penguins really have kind of settled in their first and third pairings. First pairings, Chris Letang, Brian Dumoulin, and that third pairing they really enjoyed with Marcus Pedersen, who came over from Anaheim in early December. And they really liked him with Jack Johnson. So, Juuso Riikola, kind of an import from Finland, the second pairing in the absence of Justin Schultz alongside Olli Maatta. So, they were going to have a log jam on defense. They had one even before Schultz came back, and it was only going to get worse with him back in the lineup. So, they may go out and add like a number seven, number eight type of guy. And even then, that would maybe kind of add to what they already have there. Chad Ruedel's a guy who hasn't played since, December or November. Been a healthy scratch really ever since then. So, they might just add another guy for the sake of organizational depth. But, as far as Jamie Oleksiak goes, I wasn't surprised, just based on the numbers and also too, they needed the cap space, I think, in order to make the trade yesterday. So, you move out a decent sized salary there with Jamie Oleksiak, and that helps you pull the trade with Florida yesterday.
Seth, we're always hearing about the NHL being a young man's league, but over in Pittsburgh, there's a player named Matt Cullen who has 42 years of age on his body, yet, he's still mixing in with the young guys. How does he get it done being the old guy on that squad?
For one, he just avoids injury. This is a guy who he hasn't had, you look at his 20-some-year career here. He hasn't had, like, you know, that devastating injury like a concussion or anything like that that's really, you know, sidelined him long term. So, you know, first and foremost, you know, he takes care of his body and just gets kind of lucky as far as injury. But I think above all else, he's just a really smart player. Just seems to know everything and what to do in every type of situation. Just very cerebral. Yeah, that comes with 20-some years of playing, but I think he just has a naturally good or naturally strong hockey IQ. And plus, too, he still skates. I mean, you know, you always wonder about guys as they get older. How can they, you know, keep up with the younger, you know, the game? But this is a guy who he still skates. And you know, it's funny, when he came in the league, I talked to him earlier this week about this. When he first came in the league in the late 1990s, it was a slower, bigger game, and you almost wonder how he kind of survived in the game back then when he wasn't that big a player and, you know, maybe that strong or that physical player. But he's persevered here through 20-some years, and it's funny enough, he actually became the oldest player in franchise history this week when he passed up Tim Horton, who spent 1 year in Pittsburgh late in his career. So, you know, and, you know, it's kind of cliche the thing to say, but, you know, Matt Cullen looks like he could go another 4 or 5 years just the way he's playing. He's just found a niche here in Pittsburgh, and he's still a viable contributor. In fact, he had the primary assist on the first goal last night by Teddy Bluger.
Seth, maybe he's drinking whatever Jaromir Jagr was drinking for all those years.
I don't know. I mean, he's from Minnesota there. I don't know. I don't know what the local brewery of choice there is in St. Paul, Minnesota. But he kind of has that mantle now of the oldest player in the game, and he kind of enjoys it, actually. I mean, it's the thing, you know, you look at some of the guys over the course of the NHL's history, you know, Jaromir Jagr, Chris Chelios, Gordie Howe have had that. I mean, those are Hall of Fame guys. Maybe not what you would describe Matt Cullen as, but you know, like I said, he's still a guy at his age and his experience who is a contributor to a very good team.
Seth Roybal is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Seth covers the Pittsburgh Penguins for TheAthletic.com. Seth, it was just one of those typical Evgeny Malkin, Steven Stamkos fights earlier this week. We know Malkin's going to be out of the lineup with an injury, but when that fight occurred, obviously the Penguins don't want Malkin dropping the gloves all the time, but you know, when a team in the bench sees a fight between two superstars in Malkin and Stamkos, it can't help but give a jolt to the team. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and a couple of guys even kind of said that much when they see Evgeny Malkin do that. And you know, you look at his throughout his career, Evgeny Malkin, I mean, I think he has the fifth most penalty minutes in franchise history. And you're talking guys like, the only guys ahead of him are like guys like Kevin Stevens, Troy Loney, kind of real rough and tumble type characters who fought fairly regularly. But Evgeny Malkin's a guy who, yeah, yes, he can do some marvelous things, wonderful things offensively and just with a puck, but and really get his team going in a lot of ways. But just that fire and that energy whenever he, you know, he, sporadic times he does drop the gloves, or, you know, maybe just, you know, deliver a big hit or, you know, kind of get involved physically somehow. He's a guy that can really spark his team. And, you know, there's a reason he has that A on his chest and has for several seasons now. But, yeah, I was looking at Evgeny Malkin's fight history on hockeyfights.com. It's funny. He doesn't really fight too many low end guys. It's always, you know, someone like a Patrice Bergeron or Rick Nash or, you know, some other kind of big ticket guy. And, you know, Steven Stamkos, I looked, it was that was the 10th and the 15th largest salary cap hits in the NHL right now. So I'm willing to bet that was probably the most expensive fight in NHL history.
Seth, we didn't have a chance to get into this earlier in the show, but were you surprised that Zach Smith of the Ottawa Senators was fined for that elbow on Marcus Pettersson yesterday? Because it was a pretty ugly elbow, but I wasn't necessarily sure that the NHL Department of Player Safety was going to fine him for that.
Yeah, that was a really nasty elbow. And, you know, it was right to the head there and everything like that. But thankfully, Marcus Pettersson, you know, escaped the injury. As far as we know, he's not injured. You know, the Penguins didn't have a morning skate today, so we didn't get any sort of medical update today. But, you know, Marcus Pettersson finished the game without any sort of apparent issue. And generally, it seems like the NHL, you know, doles out discipline, or, you know, levels of discipline, at least, based on the quote-unquote victim's injury or, you know, well-being. And, you know, like I said, Marcus Pettersson apparently, you know, seemed fine because of that hit, after that hit. But, yes, it was very nasty. And, you know, at the very least, I thought it deserved some kind of, you know, in-game discipline, you know, penalty or, you know, even a major penalty. But as far as the fine, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by that just based on Marcus Pettersson being, you know, apparently okay afterwards.
Seth Roybal covers the Pittsburgh Penguins for TheAthletic.com. Seth, always appreciate your time, yep, insight, and for joining us on the program. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Seth.
No, No sweat, guys, and congratulations once again.
Thank you, Seth. When we come back, we discuss the surprising Montreal Canadiens in a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. I'm not sure how many people expected that. And their general manager is going to be an interested observer at tonight's Jets-Ducks game. Much more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, celebrating 10 years on air as part of Birchwood Infinity Nissan Winnipeg Jets Game Day on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast,
on TSN1290.ca.
I do tend to discount coaches who are in their first year with a team. I think Claude Julien has done an unbelievable job with the Montreal Canadiens. Oh. He has changed his approach. He's changed their approach. He's been patient. He's been tremendous. This is coaching. This is great coaching.
Courtesy our friends at TSN 690 in Montreal, that was Gord Miller on, I believe, with Mitch Melnick in the afternoon, talking about the job that Claude Julien has done for the Montreal Canadiens. The Jets will see the Canadiens coming up next week for the first time this year. And I don't know, Dave, anybody that would have expected the Montreal Canadiens to be in a playoff spot at this point in the season. They hold down the top wild card spot and are tied with the Boston Bruins for third in the Atlantic Division. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live on TSN Radio. Radio 1290. This segment of the show is brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Some fantastic comedians coming up at Rumors. Be sure to check out the entire roster of comedians online at rumorscomedyclub.com.
We have a special guest in studio right now, Drew.
Former producer of the program, Tim Debenham, has showed up here unexpectedly. Timmy, good morning. Thank you for joining us. Do I understand you brought latkes? Is that what I understand? Well, that's somebody who knows
Let's
the way to
get Timmy
our
on
heart.
Air here. What's
he
going
brought
on,
some
Drew?
Latkes. That's very nice. We
get a
appreciate
mic for Timmy.
That. There we go. We're going to swing a mic around so Timmy can join us and provide us with some more fried food, because so far that's definitely what we need on this Saturday
morning. One more cholesterol,
morning.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hi guys.
Thanks. Hi Tim.
Just wanted to wish you guys a happy 10-year anniversary, so I decided to unexpectedly pop by with some latkes for you guys. So
you are a good man to
yeah.
me. It's been a
no
it,
worries.
It's been a long time since we've seen you. It's good to see you.
Oh, thanks. Likewise.
And, yeah.
I listen all the time, by the way.
Well, that's
I download the podcast all the time. And
Go to the website.
And go to the website, the Daily Papers. And I got to say, the production of the show has just gone up since
Well, you brought latkes, though. So right now, James DeRoshuk, who's producing the show today. James, you're going to need to step up your game, because right now on the producer power rankings, it's all about food, and Tim is leading, is ahead of the pack right now.
And Tim, it's awesome. I was telling you as you were walking in here, I was thinking about you today, because anybody who's listened to the show over the years knows that you were a big part of the show, and you know, obviously, we've stayed in touch. We run into each other every once in a while, go out for beers and, you know, enjoy some laughs. But, you know, it's awesome that you came in today. And obviously, any opportunity to have more food. We have a big cake that Laura made, Drew's wife, and then I brought in a Genie's cake. So, obviously, I'm just going to have a heart attack in the last segment of the show, and that'll be that.
Yeah, it's really the fitting bookend to the show is you having a heart attack. Timmy, help yourself to some cake over there, by all means.
Drew.
We have a lot of
Lovely.
Cake.
Yeah, we don't have utensils, but...
use your hand.
We have
nice to cut the cake with, but you know, one step at a time. For
I actually
us.
Brought milk too.
That's good. That's really helpful.
Cake and milk.
You
I mean, they go together like you know, Sonny and Cher.
That's excellent, Dave. You were gonna
no,
I just Sonny and Cher split up.
I just wanted to say, you know, we also want to thank everybody out on Twitter who are giving us sharing some memories and you know, offering us their congratulations.
I'm
on
just
Twitter.
So pumped that Tim came.
Oh, I'm ecstatic. I mean, you know, Timmy, like you said, Ez, it's a guy. You know, we maintained our communication. We occasionally play shinny with Timmy, although we haven't done that in a while. But
yeah, we're too old to play shinny.
But no, it's always good because you know
our bad backs. We just can't skate around the rink anymore like we used to.
It just goes to show you some of the connections that the show has created
over the years,
and Tim's a good example of that.
Well, if I just add one thing,
yes,
like my biggest memory. It's fitting that you had Bill Daly on because I'd say my biggest memory was coming into the studio and Drew saying, our guest today is Deputy Commissioner of the NHL, Bill Daly. And I could not believe that I was calling him. And
that was back in 2011.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was just, what a day. And So yeah. Thanks, guys. Congrats.
Thank you, Timmy. Appreciate that. And we'll dig into the latkes and the cake and everything else. The Montreal Canadiens.
Like right now?
Sure, in a minute. Just how about you give us some insight into the Canadiens before you talk about the latkes?
Well, the Canadiens have to be up there with the Islanders, guys, as the most surprising team in the league, right? And you might put the Calgary Flames in there, maybe not at being a playoff team, but just the fact that they're at the top of the Pacific. But, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, early on in the season, it wasn't all about Carey Price. Carey Price was actually struggling earlier in the season. But, you know, you look at what Max Domi has done, you know, coming over from Arizona. Many people thought that Arizona won that trade, Dave, in a landslide, right? People were saying, okay, Alex Galchenyuk, this is a former third-round pick. Max Domi, sure, he was, you know, 12th overall back in 2013. No big deal. We were there in New Jersey right before the Josh Morrissey pick. But, you know, and some Jets fans were hoping that Max Domi would be a Jet. But I digress here. When you're talking about the Canadiens, Max Domi has added some speed and some offensive punch to that team. Mm-hmm. Thomas Tatar is also having a very underrated season. And when you talk about that Max Pacioretty trade, another trade that people said, okay, Nick Suzuki, Thomas Tatar, I mean, we're losing Max Pacioretty. But Pacioretty was a guy that they didn't think was going to be, you know, their long term. They didn't have the plan to sign him. So, yeah. You know, you look at this Habs team, you know, Paul Byron is a guy that I really like. He's back now from his suspension.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is, I think, a fairly well-rounded team. You know, a player that doesn't get enough credit, I think, for their success is a guy like Jeff Petrie. And Jeff Petrie is a guy that, you know, a few years back, people were saying that he's a bust, but you know,
acquired him from Edmonton, if you remember, I think at the trade deadline three or four years ago.
I don't think the Habs are a playoff contender. I mean, I think they're going to make. There's a good chance
a Stanley Cup contender.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think that the Habs are you know going to give teams like Toronto or Tampa Bay a run for their money. I think if the Habs end up squeaking into a wild card spot, they're probably going to lose in the first round. But it's a great story because Marc Bergevin, Drew, was criticized a lot, especially for the PK Subban trade.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last few trades he's made, the Pacioretty trade and the Galchenyuk trade, I actually think he's won.
They've worked out well for the Canadians, for sure.
And, you know, that's also why it's always important to evaluate a trade over a period of time because so often we're put into a position, you know, especially on radio or TV or something like that, where you're immediately, you have to award a winner or a loser. And it's like, well, this person's a winner. And it's like you haven't even seen a result. And you're already declaring this team a winner. And this GM needs to be fired because he got hosed on the trade. So I'm just saying, like, sometimes you have to...
That's with Peter Chiarelli.
Yeah.
Maybe sober second thoughts is what you're saying?
I'm just saying, like, sometimes you need to take a step back and allow the process to play out and watch how these players do with their new teams before you're ready to award a winner or a loser in the deal.
And, Dave, a guy that we have to mention because... It was uncertain if Jesperi Kotkaniemi was going to play past you know, nine games and you know, burn a year of his entry level deal. But you know, Kotkaniemi has done really well there.
He's fit in seamlessly.
You know, and he's still 18 years old. I mean, of course, you look at his numbers and I forget how many points.
23 points in 51 games.
I mean, you look at his point totals and he's not going to be a Calder Trophy finalist, but I think it's the fact that he's played every single game this year.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he's gone through some stretches where he hasn't produced, I think he's only got 6 goals. You mentioned he's got 23 points.
The Habs have to be thrilled with what they've got out of him this year because he hasn't looked out of place very often.
Right. And it's about the future, right? Victor Mete on defense, you know, Kotkaniemi.
Nick Suzuki, you mentioned
Nick
him
Suzuki,
as getting him in the
Ryan,
trade.
Ryan Poling was the pick back in 2017. So, I mean, the Habs have a bunch of good young prospects. And for me, making the playoffs is just a bonus. I mean, I don't think many people thought they would make the playoffs. So if they make the playoffs and they get knocked out by Tampa in the first round, great. At least you made it.
You've developed everybody. You're not going to mortgage your future. It's certainly an upward trajectory right now for the Canadiens. Well, and you wouldn't have said that at this point in time last season.
Yeah, and just the idea of you're talking about all these young players to give them that experience of a first round playoff. I mean, and obviously when you're talking about Carey Price, if Carey Price is Carey Price,
you never know.
I'm not suggesting he can beat a Tampa, but you know, he's a pretty good goaltender. If he gets into a groove, he's not what you want to face.
And you know, just quickly here because I know we have to go to break here, but when you talk about the Habs, a player that I think continuously is underrated is Brendan Gallagher. He's got 19 goals. Mm-hmm. He's on pace for, you know, let's say, whatever, close to 30 goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a guy that you never hear, but this is a guy, you know, a small player who was a late draft pick. I think he was a fifth-round draft pick, if I'm not mistaken. So Gallagher is a player that I've always liked, you know, small player. But, yeah. You know, 19 goals, and he just goes about his business and is consistent for the Habs year after year.
You're absolutely right. And as I mentioned off the top, Marc Bergevin, Montreal Canadiens general manager, is going to be in attendance at tonight's Jets-Ducks game. We're not sure why or who he's watching, but interesting to note that he'll be in attendance.
He's actually there to watch, Ezzy.
I'm sure he is there to watch Ezzy. And speaking of Ezzy, before he became a father and a reputable member of society, he was a lot more fun. As we head to break here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show as part of Birchwood Infinity Nissan Winnipeg Jets game day, here's a little montage of the best of Ezra Ginsberg.
When you go away with Ezzy on a vacation, you, the people in the rooms next to you, yes, tend not to sleep very much. So would you like to update the audience about that? I don't know how you can spend five straight nights with one another without killing each other.
You can't. Final two nights, though, I didn't sleep for more than 10 minutes both nights. So we decided we had to tape Ezzy's snoring because we had to demonstrate to the listeners just how bad his snoring is.
This is from last weekend. So this is his snoring that was happening in New York.
I don't think it's that bad.
Sure, you're asleep. Why would you think it's that bad?
Yeah.
I
mean,
he was sitting up in his bed with his eyes wide open, and he just looks at me in a serious tone and goes, "Did you have a good sleep, Ezzy?"
Ezra and my mom went out for dinner last night, and Ezra informed us that he has a shower issue.
It's funny. I guess this is the second week in a row that people are being informed about my domestic issues. I haven't had time to go to Home Depot or whatever and get a shower head. So for the last two or three weeks, I've just been using basically a hose. Basically, I've been showering with a hose.
Like a farm animal.
We have a new little segment we're going to introduce this week. It's going to be called Escapades.
My house right now is just beer, water, and chips. I basically put some frozen pierogies and a frozen hamburger, you know, on the element.
What do you mean on, like, directly on the element or in a bowl?
No, in like a pan.
Interesting, Ezzy, because you and I had one of our best talks in a long time on Thursday night, and then you texted me the next morning and didn't remember ever being at my place.
I did not remember ever being at your place, and Dave also drove me to a convenience store that night. It was
incident.
It was quite the night.
Basically, what happened with this apple is I washed the apple at work. I was eating it in the morning for breakfast. You know, I like to have an apple or a banana for breakfast. And what ended up happening was I took another bite of this apple, like the second bite of the apple, and I bit into it, and it had this poisonous, rank, you know, taste to it. And I cut open the apple to see what was going on, and I tweeted it out. I've since deleted it. But basically, this apple had some type of, you know, growth or rot.
It was rotten.
It was a rotten apple.
A worm in there.
But there was a worm in there.
It looked fine on the outside.
It looked fine on the inside. Maggot? The moral of this story is that I'm going to buy apples at grocery stores and not convenience stores. And I mean, I'm learning here.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of hour number three. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290 as part of Birchwood Infinity Nissan Winnipeg Jets game day. Drew Mindell, Dave Minuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you in studio. The latkes have been served courtesy of former producer Tim, who made them from scratch. Very impressive.
And they're amazing.
Yeah. These latkes are unbelievable.
They are. We got latkes. We got cake. We got it. It's a party now, let me tell you.
And Tim even brought sour cream. Because, you know, some people like their latkes with applesauce.
I'm a sour cream guy myself.
I'm a sour cream guy.
I'm a plain guy for the record.
Plain, really, yeah. Dave? Yeah. Didn't expect that. Well, anyways, it's a party here in studio. You can
old
send
school.
Us your comments at Illegal Curve. That's the best way to reach us here via Twitter. And, of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Speaking of former producers of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, we head out to Humboldt, Saskatchewan, where our former producer, Rory McGoran, is now the play-by-play voice of the Humboldt Broncos. He joins us on the line now to talk a little bit about the Broncos. Rory, good morning. How are you? It's been too long. How are things in the province west of us?
Guys, it's going good. How are you doing? I miss y'all. Listening to that Best of Ezzy brought a smile to my face. I'll tell you that was wonderful.
Yes, back when Ezzy was a less functioning member of society, but good memories. But we appreciate now that he is a responsible parent and father and everything else along those lines. As horrifying as that idea may be, Rory, as I mentioned, you're the play-by-play voice of the Humboldt Broncos, and obviously we know sort of the lingering story, and the Broncos were back, and Humboldt was back in the news this week as sentencing and victim impact statements were going on regarding the tragedy that occurred last year. On the ice, though, the Humboldt Broncos, in the face of tremendous adversity, are having a pretty incredible season so far. Second overall in their division, just 2 points out of the top spot of their division in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. What's it like from your perspective to be with this Broncos team and, you know, traveling and broadcasting their games?
It's honestly unbelievable. I mean, just to see the way that these guys gel, and if you just look at the start of the season, I mean, no other team comes together with, you know, two players that have played together before. You had a couple out of the AJHL that have known each other from playing against each other in the AJHL. So they come over with a little familiarity, but prior to the season, it's a brand new team with really everything that they need to build on. And to see them right now, second place in their division, and just how quickly that glued together, and being on the bus, of course, for away games, being with them, interviewing them before games, you can just see that it's a group that there's no hiccup in the consistency and the glue, that they just enjoy the time around each other as much as possible.
And Rory, you mentioned, you know, the Broncos right now are, is it just 1 point out of second place?
Yeah, it's 2 points. Now, Kindersley, they were tied with Kindersley, who picked up a win last night. So they're 2 points. But, I mean, the parity in this league is ridiculous because they're 2 points out of second place in the whole entire league, but they're 1 point out of seventh place. So this, and if you're in seventh place, then that's that elimination series in the playoffs, 7, 8, 9, 10, do a best of three to find those final two spots in the top eight. And it's going to come down. There's 11 games less in the season, and it's going to come down to the final 2-1 game to find out if they're second or seventh, which is insane.
And, Rory, you were mentioning to me that Humboldt is on a 10-day break right now, and going into the break, they had won 4 in a row and 7 of their last 10. So is this break both nice and kind of bittersweet, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, because, you know, you get a break and you get time to spend with your friends and family, but also, you know, the team was red hot, so maybe they wanted to keep it going, and I'm sure they're going to be excited to get back on the ice.
Yeah, the one break prior, the Christmas break prior, was the one that you look at, and, like, that was the one they needed. They played a lot of hockey. They came into that Christmas break winning 2 out of their last 10 games, and they really needed something just to step aside from hockey. Everyone got to go home to their families and, you know, enjoy Christmas and the holidays. And they came back from that. Their first 6 games after the Christmas break were against top teams all above them in the standings, and they took 4 out of those 6 games. And now the next 6 have been teams below them in the standings, and they've been able to win 3 of those in a row, and they're 7-3 in the last 10. So this break here now comes as a bit of an anomaly because it is so close after the Christmas break, and it's so near the playoffs with only 10 or 11 games left. But, I mean, Scott Barney, the head coach, and Troy Smith, I've talked to them, so they've also given them a few days off during this 10-break stretch. So they're going to go home again. They're going to get to relax, get their minds off hockey. And I don't think any other team has an opportunity to do that. So if you get that chance, although you come in winning 7 of the last 10, I know they are hot, but if you get the chance this close to playoffs to rest that body and really regroup the mind and go forward hard into the last stretch, I it has to be considered a positive.
Rory, it seems like just yesterday you were telling us that you got the job in Humboldt, and now, of course, you've been in it for a little bit. But just reflecting back on the transition, knowing all the pressure, knowing all the eyes of Canada and people around the world that were on you and on that community, just how has it gone, and maybe let our listeners know about that kind of transition as you took over?
Yeah, the beginning of it, of course, was where most of the pressure came. And there was people that always asked me, I mean, the former play-by-play guy in here at Bolt FM, Tyler Bieber, who passed away, like, how are you going to fill Tyler's shoes? It's, you know, big shoes to fill. And I always said, it's impossible to fill. No one can fill those shoes. I'm not Tyler. He did it in such a way that you know, is it comparable to anything else? And I wasn't going in there to fill shoes. I know that I was just going to go in there. If people wanted to listen to Broncos hockey, I was going to bring them Broncos hockey. And I was going to pay my respects as, you know, wholehearted as I can towards the team that was there before me, towards the guy who was calling the games before me. But I wasn't going in there to fill anyone's shoes. I was just wanting to bring hockey back into the community. And now just seeing the way this team has blossomed and this team has grown, and they're so great into the community. They're at all events. They partake in stuff with Special Olympics and youth rec hockey. They're all over the community. They're such great guys, and it's just made the transition very, very smooth for me to be able to be welcomed in by this team, by the community, which I absolutely love. I mean, it is a smaller community than Winnipeg, of course. But they've just welcomed me in with open arms, and I can't thank them enough. It's been wonderful.
Rory McGoran is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. We're part of Birchwood Infinity Nissan Winnipeg Jets game day, the Jets and the Ducks, 6 p.m. tonight. Rory, of course, is our former producer here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's now the voice of the Humboldt Broncos of the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Rory, the new head coach, or the current head coach of the Broncos, of course, you mentioned him, is Scott Barney. He took over from Nathan Oistrich when he sort of abruptly left the team in and around the Christmas time. How has the transition gone from from Nathan Oistrich to Scott Barney as head coach?
I think it's been pretty smooth for the guys. It wasn't a brand new head coach where everything changes. So Scott comes in. It's still the same voice that they have been listening to, or one of the two same voices, I should say. So Scott comes in. The systems and the structure and what they're trying to accomplish remains the same. And then he brings in Troy Smith from the Ontario Hockey League. I mean, he's had so much experience with junior players at even maybe the next level up. So he's with Kitchener. He's with the head coach for the Saginaw Spirit. He comes in with so much experience. He's been with multiple levels of Team Canada as well throughout his past. He was the understudy of Pete DeBoer when he was trying to get into his coaching career. And again, that voice coming in at the time when it did, maybe just if they're focused on one thing and if he has a voice that comes in and tell them just to kind of tweak it and do this one, it's a voice that they're going to listen to because he does come in with so much experience. And I believe that the tandem now of Scott and Troy has them geared forward into this playoff run, and you can just see it in the last 10 games because there was that slump in the Christmas break. Everyone's going to go through a slump. They always do. But in order to get out of it, and get out of it as successful as they have, I think you have to look at the coaching staff and their ability to kind of, you know, jumpstart a team that was going through a slump.
Rory, we have to ask you about an event that's coming up in March. It's March 9th, which is a Saturday, so we'll be able to pump that as well on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. But it's actually going to be a group of NHL legends coming to Humboldt to play a Bronco alumni. And there's some huge names on that list. You've got Bernie Nichols. You've got Brian Trottier. Reggie Leach, of course, the Riverton Rifle, played for the Flin Flon Bombers, of course, who are in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. And you've got his son, Jamie Leach, as well, who played in the NHL. But it's going to be the alumni game, but it's also a whole weekend that's got a sportsman's dinner, and there's also going to be a brunch as well, I believe, on a wind-up brunch on the last day. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that event and what it's going to mean to the community?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's coming on March 9th, and it is just that. It's not a one-off with a game where they fly in, they do the game, and then that's it. Like, they want to take these legends and really embed them into the, you know, hockey-loved community that Humboldt is, and they're doing that with this full weekend. So they're going to get in on Friday. You mentioned the names. I mean, Brian Trottier, Bernie Nichols, Reggie Leach. There's crazy names throughout this list. And then they're going to be in on Friday. They're staying in the hotels. They're at Boston Pizza on Friday to meet people, sign autographs. They're going to be playing the game on Saturday at 3 against the Broncos alumni. I believe I will be getting on the ice, not as a player, but I think they're going to strap a referee's jersey on me, and I'll have a microphone and then some fun chats with some of the legends and the alumni in the arena there. And then the sportsman's dinner follows that on Saturday. They're going to be auctioning off the players themselves so people can bid on, let's say, Brian Trottier. And then if you win, he'll come sit at your table for the entire dinner. And then there's other auctions that are going on, a hot stove Q&A with all 10 NHL legends on stage at the same time. So that'll be really interesting to see the stories that they all have. And then on Sunday, yeah, just another wind-up brunch. So it's really a three-day event where, and all these legends, I've talked to one of them so far. We're going to key up a couple interviews coming closer to the event. I've talked to Warren Skorodensky, the former Chicago Blackhawks goaltender, and just to hear like his excitement level to be able to come in to Humboldt and put this event together, and they're all feeling the same way. But yeah, it's just bringing these legends into the hockey community that is Humboldt for the entire weekend and not just a one-off game is really what's spectacular about this event.
You know, and Rory, to that idea of just the idea of hockey healing the community, just how has that, you know, folks being able to just go to the arena and watching the players play, how has that helped that community get, you know, kind of try and heal through this tragedy?
Well, I think immensely, and I can't speak for everyone, and I don't know if everyone can go back to the arena. I really don't know, but I do know that the people that can go to the arena and they just watch how hard these players on this team compete, and they know what they're doing it for. They know what's in their heart and what's on their sleeve and the crest in front of their jersey and the fans that are watching. So I think just to be able to go and watch these players and how hard they compete and how well they're doing really has helped whoever it can help. But I can't speak for everyone because I don't know if that time has come where people can, well, some people, I should say, can go back into the arena after April 6th.
Rory McGoran is the voice of the Humboldt Broncos of the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. He's a former producer of this fine show. Rory, great to hear from you. Great to hear you're doing so well in Saskatchewan. And, you know, we were so grateful for all the time we got to spend together. And it's nice to see that you're moving onwards and upwards and your career isn't being hindered by your association with us.
Well, I got to say, if there was a top producer list of, if it was based off people who brought you food, I don't think I'm very high on that totem pole.
Right now, producer Tim, who brought us latkes,
is
running
first,
away with
first
the contest.
No one's
right
close
now.
Right now, but Rory, you're well, second. You're definitely second.
Yeah, it's a lengthy tie for second. Yourself,
but James is a current one. We're talking about former.
I think James cracks the top five for sure.
Well, I'll tell you who's in the bottom of the list.
Just kidding, James.
And there's no doubt that Michael Remus is at the bottom of the list.
Oh yeah, for sure.
No question about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Rory, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, congratulations on 10 years. Hey, I miss you guys. It was a blast when I was there. Thank
we appreciate
so
it, Rory. Yeah.
Cheers,
care,
Rory.
Buddy.
Thanks for coming on, man.
When we come back, one final segment on this Saturday morning. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're part of Birchwood Infinity Nissan Winnipeg Jets game day on your home of the Jets. TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
Yeah, it's getting better for every day. Obviously, it's been a some fractures. There's a big injury, but it feels better for every day. But we got to be smart. We're going to have a little discussion now with the coaches and the coaching staff to see what's going on, if I'm going with the team or not.
That was Edmonton Oilers defenseman Oscar Klefbom earlier this week. He's very close to returning to the lineup, and people in Alberta are counting on his return as potentially being a catalyst that saves the Oilers' season and is able to propel them back into the Stanley Cup playoff race. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment on this Saturday morning. It's brought to you by our good friends at Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Bernstein's is proudly family-owned and operated and has been serving quality home-style food since 1985. For freshly made and fresh frozen foods delivered right to your door, visit shopbernsteins.com or check out the store and the restaurant in the Cordon Village Mall. That's the corner of Cordon and Lanark. Tell them that Illegal Curve sent you.
These latkes that Tim made, I think you know, he might give Bernstein's a run for their money.
You have made a delicious latke, Tim. I must say that this is it's such a special occasion to have you in studio, but to come bearing delicious food even brings it up a whole extra
level. Well, you know what?
It just
goes to show you that Tim knows, he knows who we are.
Oh, clearly.
He knows the way to our heart.
Fried
through our stomachs.
Tim, Marla Bernstein, the matriarch of the Bernstein family, would be very proud with these latkes.
It's true.
Did you dip it in the sour cream, Drew?
I did dip it in the sour cream.
Yeah.
Timmy, I'm not gonna put in a request, but I'm a matzo meal guy, so maybe look that up and you can bring those in next time.
Yeah, for maybe our 15th or 20th year anniversary, you can work on different recipes along those lines.
We're putting in requests.
Yeah. One final segment, as I mentioned, on this Saturday morning, we're going to talk about the Oilers and their chances.
I don't want this show to end with all of this food and all of these great
guests.
Yeah,
we don't know who's going to show up next.
Let's go for an extra hour.
Well, we'll see about that.
James is like, no. Yeah. We're actually ending the show now. Yeah.
James is like, no.
Rock won't mind.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Edmonton Oilers and Oscar Klefbom and his return to the lineup. And, you know, Klefbom's coming back. That means we're going to go on a run. Klefbom's coming back. He's the secret to all of our success. Do you buy that? Do you buy that Oscar Klefbom's return to the lineup? It's not going to be tonight. It's not going to be today when they play, I believe, the Flyers, but it's getting to be very close to imminent. Do you believe that that will be the catalyst for success for the Edmonton Oilers?
Well, I don't know if it gets them into the playoffs, but there's no denying that Oscar Klefbom, you know, is one of their top defensemen. I think Darnell Nurse has been this year their best defenseman. I've said that many times on the show, but when you're talking about on that left side, I mean, Klefbom has been a top four defenseman for them. But, you know, you wonder here, guys, with, you know, the trade deadline coming up, and it's been very quiet as far as Keith Gretzky and Bob Nicholson goes, right? Mm-hmm. When you're talking about, you know, since the news of Chiarelli being fired a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, it looks like the Oilers are going with the lineup they have now. And, you know, Klefbom, it looked like there was a good chance that he was going to play tonight. You mentioned they play the Flyers, but he had a setback in practice. And, you know, it's unfortunate because they need him right now. And, you know, it's tough to say what his impact will be immediately. It's probably going to be felt, you know, once he's played 3, 4, 5 games. But, you know, Klefbom is an excellent defenseman. But going back to what you said, it's going to be really tough because when you look at the teams they're competing against for that last playoff spot, you're talking about the Minnesota Wild. And I realize the Wild have climbed up the standings a little bit, Drew, but you're talking about the Colorado Avalanche, right? You're talking, to a lesser degree, I guess, against the Ducks.
Four teams they have to jump over in order to get into a wild card spot. So between the Avalanche hold down the last wild card spot, and then it's the Canucks, the Ducks, the Coyotes, the Blues, and then the Oilers.
Right. It's crazy that the Blues are still in it, but that just shows you
the Coyotes coming out of nowhere.
Considering how many injuries.
The bottom,
I guess if you want to call it the middle, because the LA Kings and the Chicago Blackhawks are at the bottom. But when you're talking about the middle of the Western Conference, it's not very good this year. You've got the Jets, Preds, Flames, and Sharks at the top, right?
Yeah.
And then the rest of the teams just aren't very good. Yeah. Throw in Golden Knights if you want. But I don't think, to really answer your question and not give you a long-winded cop-out answer, I don't think that Klefbom is going to be enough, guys. They just don't get enough secondary scoring. I mean, McDavid could score 80% of their goals. Mm-hmm. But after Connor McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins, I mean, they don't have enough there. I mean, Milan Lucic has popped in a few goals now here, but, I mean, he's got to pop in a lot more, and you got to get more from a guy like Jesse Puljujarvi. You know, Kyler Yamamoto's up there now. But, you know, this break, it's going to be really interesting to see what it does for them. Like, do they get a win right off the bat? Are they motivated?
Back-to-back situation for the Oilers. They have the Flyers this afternoon.
Then they're red hot.
Who are playing good hockey right now. And then they head to Montreal tomorrow afternoon to play the traditional Super Bowl Sunday matinee game that the Habs always play at home.
I'll give you a bold prediction.
Okay.
I think the Oilers win both of these games.
That is a bold prediction. I'll tell you what. Here's another. Give me another bold prediction. What's your Super Bowl prediction, gentlemen, for tomorrow night's big game?
You can't make a prediction with the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
I mean, well, sure you can. Physically, you can. You can just say
words. It's
actually
really not difficult.
Like, you say words, and that's considered a prediction.
Use my words?
Use your words. Sound it out. Be a big boy.
My prediction is the Patriots win, but I'm hoping for the LA Rams, because I always hope for the upset, but Brady is the greatest of all time. I mean, sorry to the Joe Montana fans, or sorry to the Dan Marino fans, but Brady is the best of all time, and I think he does get that sixth ring, but I'm hoping for the Rams.
David?
I like the LA Rams back in the day when they had the, you know, the mid 80s, they had those very cool jerseys, which they're back to obviously now. So I'm going with the LA Rams.
There you go. I think the Patriots win, and I'm hoping for the Patriots because I like to see the excellence of Tom Brady rewarded one more time, and the Rams don't deserve.
Spoken like a true Vikings fan.
What are you talking about? LA, the folks in LA, like our friend Josh Cooper, I mean, they've put in years supporting this team.
I know.
I mean, come on. They deserve.
The Rams don't deserve to be there. They got the Saints got hosed last week or 2 weeks ago in the NFC Championship game, so the Rams don't deserve to be there in the first place.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy.
And jeers.
No, not good enough. He's a bad boy.
I never seen something
surprisingly not good.
We used to finish each show with that, so a bit of a callback to how we used to end it with cheers and jeers. David Manuk, cheer or jeer?
I'm going
to
give a cheer. I'm going to give a cheer to Richard Pollack, who started the website many years ago when he was in law school. Yeah, no, yeah. Richard Pollack.
He's, Richard who?
Yeah. So, name doesn't ring a bell.
Got to give Richard the shout out. He started the website when he was in UND at law school, and we've continued the website, and we've obviously started the radio show with you guys, and he was on it for many years before I joined. So, no, I'm giving it to Rich. He deserves my cheer for 10 years, which obviously the show probably wouldn't be here without him.
Yeah, and just quickly, we go back 12 years with the website, and I still remember the day Rich and I started Illegal Curve. It was in his car, and we were writing for another fantasy sports another fantasy hockey website, and he said, "Ez, let's start our own website." And he didn't kind of ask me if he wanted to start a website. He said, "We're going to start a website. It's going to be called Illegal Curve." And 12 years later, we're still here. And so I love that cheer. I'm going to, I'd love to cheer an individual player or accomplishment or something like that, but give a cheer to Tim for coming in and bringing food, but I got to give a cheer to all of our listeners. I mean, we wouldn't be anywhere with all of the listeners and people that participate every week on Twitter and Facebook, and occasionally we have callers, but I mean, it's just been a treat to do the show. We hope to do it for another 10 years, but anybody who's listened to the show over the years and has given us, a shout out, whether in person or, like I said, on social media. I mean, this is why we do it. We love doing the show, and we love hearing from the fans. So all the IC fans out there.
Well said, Ezra Ginsberg. That's it for this Saturday edition, the 10-year anniversary edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. In case you missed any of the program, including our interview with NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly, it will be available for download on IllegalCurve.com, on TSN1290.ca, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe, get it sent to your device automatically each and every week. A big shout out and a thank you to all of our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Keener Jersey. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey and they help make this program a reality each and every week. Big props to producer James Duroshuk, doing a great job behind the board. Big props to all of our past producers, including producer Tim, who brought latkes into studio, Chris Curry, Rory McGoran, Michael Remus, who am I missing? Sean Asor, all sorts of great producers help make the show a reality.
And Chris Brook for giving us an opportunity so
You're
long
choking
ago.
On latke right
well,
now.
Well, that's appropriate.
Yeah, appropriate
that is an appropriate
ending
way.
To the program. Is Ezzy choking on potato pancakes?
Big thanks to Chris Brook.
Chris Brook, Raccoon Carter, everybody here at the station. For Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.